book weighs 6 kilos. It's very heavy because the Acharya himself is very heavy. There's a slip case to protect it. And I'd like to present you Srila Gurudev. I would like to present you with the book about your life and images. I started this project 2 years ago, in 2007, and I moved to different places. I came here to Dallas, I went to Houston, went to China, all over the world, practically speaking, to scan photos. I would like to thank all the devotees who have contributed photos. They are listed at the back of the book in the credit page. There are up to 70 devotees who have contributed photos. I'd like a big round of applause for these devotees. Some unseen before photos. There are some very familiar photos that we all love. And all up, there were 3,000 photos scanned. And this book contains 1,600 of them. This is a book of meditation. I have already experimented for the last few weeks. You go through 460 pages with your japa beads and you finish your 16 rounds. This is proven and tested. So, the book is presented from the early days with Srila Prabhupada. There are 100 pages of beautiful photos from the Bhaktivedanta archives. And then it moves on geographically from the 1980s, which is not a period where I was part of Gurudev's life. And then it moves on to geographically Texas, and then on to Europe, and then on to Middle East and Hungary, and on to India. There are some stunningly beautiful photos of Srila Gurudev in Vrindavan. There are a lot of photos of His Holiness Girar Swami. And there are photos in Mayapur, on Parikram, on to the Far East, Hong Kong, Taiwan, China, the Philippines, to Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, and then the Academy. And then there are a few family photos at the end. So, I want to say that a couple of things have triggered the inspiration for doing this book. One was very clear in my mind, the passing of Mother Gopali, for whom I had the chance to assist for the last 7 days of her life. And somehow or other, I became the via media to connect with all the devotees around the world who were sending letters, who wanted to know how she's doing up to the last day for the last rites. The day after she passed away, Gurudev came to me in a dream where he just very lightly said, "That was good." And I couldn't work out what he was talking about, so I replied, "Most of the things that I do, Gurudev, they're not good." And then he replied, "But that was good." In other words, I felt that he was satisfied that I looked after my god sister up to the last moment of her life. And I realized after that I wanted to do something which would connect all the disciples, the family of Srila Gurudev, everywhere, and this book came to mind. So it was pretty much an automatic thing, you know, playing with Photoshop and playing on the computer with different designs and graphics, having fun scanning photos and putting them together and putting different themes together. And then gradually, I began to see that there is a story there. And with the story, I felt compelled and I felt the need to go deeper to give the book some meaning. Especially after I have laid out all the photos, I have to put text in it. And I became very frightened because I was afraid I would not be able to put proper text matching the photos, matching the pages, and matching the different themes. And Borjan probably encouraged me to go ahead with it. And what I did is I started an entire journey into Buddha's life by reading his books, by listening to all his lectures. I would sometimes have his lectures, I would walk around with my iPod listening to a class, and then I would stop and write down and say, this is very good for that photo. Sometimes I would go to bed listening to a lecture and wake up in the middle of the night listening to something very striking and write it down. I went through all of his letters. I went through Prabhupada's books to the folio. And it was just an amazing journey. And gradually, different quotes made their ways into the book, page by page. Then towards the end of the production of this book, and I was always in touch with my dear friend Carl, who coached me all throughout with putting the writing at the right place. And I began to feel that all of a sudden Srila Gurudev had come to life in a very, very powerful way. And that leads me to share with you a couple of things about how Srila Gurudev came back to life. Because Maharaj this morning was speaking about ongoing relationships, the eternal relationship. And for each of us, whether we are disciple of a present spiritual master or disciple of Srila Prabhupada, it takes more than a lifetime to actually realize what is that relationship all about. There is no, it's a bottomless reservoir of realization of what is the relationship between the guru and the disciple. In my particular case, and in the case of those who've been very close to Gurudev in terms of service, and I'm sure that those who hear that know what I'm talking about, especially in serving Srila Gurudev, it's always been very, very difficult. Although there's been a lot of fun along the way, it has been very difficult, very challenging, sometimes scary, and at some point also it has left some scars. And each of us, with Srila Gurudev not being with us any longer, we try to create that environment where he is with us all the time. That's why I wanted to do this book, so that Gurudev can be in everybody's home, present, every day. But what happened with me with this book, and I'd like to make that point emphatically, is that it killed me. For many years, while I was serving Srila Gurudev, and after Gurudev passed away, I kept dragging with me these thoughts of, am I pleasing him? Am I doing enough? Is he happy with me? And I could never get an answer. I could never know exactly if am I doing the right thing. If Gurudev was here, would I do the right thing? Would he be satisfied? Am I disappointing him? These questions just came on all the time for many years. And then I went back into my heart and I wanted to close the wounds that I have created by always thinking that I was disappointing my spiritual master, because I recall that many times he has asked me to stay with him, and because I was so scared to lose my identity or my false ego, the more he would ask me to stay with him, the more I wanted to take distance. And I have pondered about this for many years. I can say today that this book has closed all my wounds and that Gurudev has stitched me back page by page. And I want to thank him because he actually did this book. I didn't. I was just an instrument, and I want to thank him forever and ever
to have come back into my heart or appear in my heart in a big way by allowing me to do this book for him. Now that this is done, that my heart is blossoming, I'm very, very happy and I want to share this with you. There's another door that's opening up. And that door is, what am I going to do now? It's something that I have pondered on, and I was very happy to see when I came here that the theme of the Vyasa Puja this year is the, you know, Chinese decorations. Gurudev took me to mainland China in 1993 for the first time and asked me to stay there. I fell in love with China the first time I went there. It was almost 16 years ago. And now that this book is done, this is where I'm going. Gurujan Prabhu last week told me, if you want to be with your spiritual master, that's where you should go, because that's where he is, and that's where I want to be. So I want to thank Gurudev also for giving me Kashyapesh, mainland China, as an unlimited preaching field. And I would like also to say that my name is Radhacharan Das, and I am here to recruit you. I'm here to recruit those who have had children and that those children are gone from home, who are now finding their own ways in life, who are not ready yet to sit down in Mayapur and Vrindavan and chant 64 rounds a day and bathe in the Ganges and the Yamuna, and who are looking for a very strong connection with their spiritual master and a new frontier to help their God brothers and God sisters. To all these devotees, I would like to invite them to this beautiful China mission. I know that Srila Gurudev wanted to do that. He personally told me once that the future of China mission is not really for the sannyas ashram, but more for the vanaprastha ashram and the retired householders. We need moms and dads. Chinese devotees need moms and dads to look up to. And I hope in the future that we'll be able to attract many of those couples and even single men or women who want to try that. It is something very special that you will never forget. So, now this book is available. We have printed 2,000 copies. There are 450 copies in Texas. I'm not going to hold my words by saying that one of the quotes in this book is a quote from Gurudev's lecture in Vrindavan when he said, devotees should always take risk to serve Srila Prabhupada in his mission. And I took a risk by taking a big loan from the bank in order to print these books, and now I have the heavy weight of repaying that loan, and I'm hoping that all the books will sell, and I'm hoping the devotees will even give more than the price. I'm selling this for $108, but anything above that, up to $1 million, is welcome. You can take one copy, two copies, three copies. I would like also to say that this book is not, even though it says here TKG, this is not essentially and exclusively a TKG book. You will see through the pages that this book is a cornerstone and a landmark of ISKCON history. There are devotees all over the pages. It's not just Srila Gurudev. There are devotees from everywhere, from every yatra, from every festival, God brothers, God sisters, disciples. So it is for everyone. Gurudev disciples, friends of Srila Gurudev, well-wishers, devotees who like to collect big books, devotees who just knew Gurudev and appreciate him, there is a book for everyone to put on their table. And lastly, this book is very heavy. You can't hold it on your laps if you don't look at it. You have to put it flat on the table. So, I want to make this offering to Srila Gurudev today and to you all, and hope that you will enjoy it. Thank you very much. I just want to say a couple of more things quickly. One is, I would appreciate if devotees don't scan the pages of the book. I have 3,000 high-resolution photos of any of the photos in the book. If you need any, you just tell me and I'll send them to you. But mainly, I like to respect the fact that most of the photos in this book are not mine. They belong to those who contributed to the project, and therefore it is fair enough for them to know that you want to use some of those photos. And I also wanted to say... Sorry, I'm a bit tired here, jet lag. I forgot. I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. I would like to have somebody to sponsor one copy that can stay in Srila Gurudev's bedroom upstairs for any of the guests who want to visit and get to know Gurudev better. So if you want to sponsor one copy, then let me know, and then we'll take the book to Gurudev's quarters. Thank you, Radha Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Maharaj, would you like to say something?
This morning we discussed how to deal with the physical absence of the spiritual master. Or in other words, how to always feel the presence of the spiritual master. The same question exercised the minds of the devotees of Lord Krishna when he wound up his pastimes on earth. And I would like to read the answer to that question. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 43. Krishne Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Bisaha Kalo nashta drisham esha puranarko dunodita. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So we also feel the same way about the representative of Krishna, that he has departed, accompanied by religion, knowledge. Of course, he's also left those things, but he's also left with those things. But we can get light in this dark time from the Bhagavatam, which is as brilliant as the sun. Now, in one talk, after one talk, I think it was probably 1968, in Seattle, somewhat early in the history of ISKCON. One lady in the audience asked Srila Prabhupada, "Is there anyone comparable to Joan of Arc in the Bhagavata?" And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Why someone comparable to Joan of Arc in the Bhagavata? Why not Joan of Arc of the Bhagavata? Any book that describes the devotee of the Lord who is completely dedicated to the service of the Lord, that is Bhagavata." So I feel it is not unfair to say that the Gurudev meditation book is also Bhagavata. It describes the Lord and devotees who are fully dedicated to the service of the Lord. And therefore, it is as brilliant as the sun. And people who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from it. The book focuses on Srila Gurudev, but Srila Gurudev cannot be separated from Srila Prabhupada, cannot be separated from the previous acharyas, cannot be separated from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, cannot be separated from Radha and Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham. They're all in the book. And by reading the book, looking at the pictures, meditating on the words, meditating on the images, one is associating with Tamal Krishna Goswami, with Srila Prabhupada, with the previous acharyas, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the whole spiritual world. So it is worthy of being read again and again, of being scanned with one's eyes again and again. It is completely worthy. And I believe what Radhacharan Prabhu said, that Srila Gurudev and higher authorities put the book together using him and others as instruments. Even the just to add a little humorous note at the end, but even the sales pitch at the end reminded me of Srila Gurudev, because we began with a book that goes for $108. So someone could think $108, well, that's quite a bit. But it didn't end there, the pitch. It ended up with giving one's life to the mission of Srila Gurudev in China. So it's sort of like they say, you know, in like a needle and out like a plow. Or as Srila Gurudev sometimes referred to transcendental bargaining. If he asks for $108, oh, that's quite a bit. If he asks for your whole life to go to China, $108, well, let's not so bad. Let's begin there and we'll see about the other things. So, but anyway, it's a wonderful book. I myself haven't fathomed the depths of it. I've just gotten some glimpses of what's there. I myself am looking forward to this meditation, going deeper and deeper into it. And one of the exciting parts is I think I'll find many of you in there by name and face. And even if you're not there by name or face, you'll be there in that transcendental ocean of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So we thank Radhacharan Prabhu. Bhakta Karl put in a lot of effort, and everyone who contributed, and to all of you who will be participating in the reading of it. Will you also be part of the wonderful experience that we look forward to relishing with you? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So I just got news that His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj is arriving onto the street right now. He's just turning the corner on Gurley Avenue. And so we're giving him the choice of freshening up first and then coming here, or he comes straight into the program. We'll just see how it goes. As usual, we have the challenge of time. It's now almost 12 noon. And I've got 50 speakers. And none of these are from Dallas. Like I said, the Dallas speakers, I told you that we're going to have you in the evening or tomorrow morning or maybe next year. Forgive me for that, but I have no choice. We want to make sure that our guests have come from very far, get the first opportunity to speak and make their contributions. And of course, we'd like to hear. Hearing is the very most important thing that a devotee can do. So how I'm going to do this is that I'm going to call on some of those guests who have come from very far away out of the country, and as Lokanath Maharaj walks in, we'll let him speak, let him be the first speaker after he walks in. I've got a bit of a dilemma, because we want to hear from Rita Dwaja Maharaj as well. And I don't want to cut him short when Maharaj is walking in. So Maharaj, if you don't mind, I'll have you speak after Lokanath Maharaj speaks. Is that okay with you? Okay. But would you like to speak now? Your choice, Maharaj. You make the choice. If you'd like to speak now, I'd have you come. Okay. I just don't want you to be disturbed while you're speaking. It really is not very fair to you. Of course, it's not fair to anybody, but, you know, some of us can accept that austerity because we are disciples of Gurudev here and for the pleasure of our spiritual master. Okay, so first person I'd like to call upon to speak is Rupa Raghunath Prabhu from Australia. Please come on through, Prabhu. And then if your wife can get ready after that, Krishna Rupa Prabhu. After that, Archana Prabhu from England. Then husband, Adi Guru Prabhu. Then Radha Krishna Prabhu. I'm going to have five of you lined up, one after the other. then I'll call upon the rest of you as the others speak. Thank you. Also, some of Srila Gurudev's God brothers or God sisters may be walking in, and so don't mind if we give the gifts to them while you're talking. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
So it's a wonderful pleasure to come to the Dalas Yatra. Been wanting to come here for years. I did want to come when Gurudev was still on the planet, but somehow Krishna never allowed me. So finally, somehow Gurudev and Lord Krishna have fulfilled my desires, and I'm very enlivened by coming here and really feeling Srila Gurudev's presence in this wonderful yatra. So many wonderful devotees, so many wonderful disciples and God brothers and well wishers that I've met so far. And just being here in this wonderful temple, I can really feel Srila Gurudev's presence, I can really feel the wonderful service and all the hard work that he did in inspiring all the devotees of this yatra to put together this wonderful community and this wonderful temple. I've never seen a temple room like this, such a wonderful temple room and an altar with such beautiful deities. It's like being completely in the spiritual world. So just being here is like, also I feel a reminder for myself to remind me of the greatness of Srila Gurudev and the little part I have to play in trying to be his sincere servant. At times I feel that maybe I forget about the importance of Srila Gurudev, and I forget about what he's done for the whole world and what he's done for all of us, and what he's constantly doing in enlivening so many devotees all around the world and bringing new people to Krishna consciousness. Even though he's left this planet, there's still people joining the movement because of all his wonderful service and hearing about his glories. So at times I feel that I forget all this, and just being in my own little, caught up in my own little world. Of course, I'm trying to do a little bit of service, whatever service I can, but just coming here, I really feel reminded of the greatness of Srila Gurudev. And one of the most, one of the greatest ways that I get reminded of that is meeting all you wonderful devotees. So many wonderful disciples and God brothers and God sisters and well wishers. And of course, Srila Gurudev's wonderful brother, Bhakti Kal, and his family. And seeing how you're also Gurudev conscious, always trying to glorify him, always trying to follow his instructions, always trying to preach about his wonderful qualities and his preaching exploits. So somehow or other, I was fortunate to some degree to have Srila Gurudev's association in Australia. I travelled with him to Fiji, sometimes New Zealand, and even though it wasn't much association, you know, a few weeks here and there, a few days here and there, And it was always very special being directly with Srila Gurudev in his personal association. You felt so inspired, so enlivened to take seriously your Krishna consciousness. I always felt so purified, so freed from all material desires, just being with him. And of course, you know, the spiritual master is always present, either in his Vapi form or his Vani form. So just trying to bathe in his association through following his instructions and being with his disciples and followers and God brothers, I experience is also very purifying and very gives great strength to keep one fixed in Krishna consciousness. So I always, when I'm at home in Australia, I like to very much hear his lectures and watch videos when I can and read his books, and all these activities have very helped me, keep me close to Srila Gurudev and keep me remembering him and remembering what he's given to all of us and to the whole world. So I'd like to very much thank Srila Gurudev on this day for all that he's given to me and given to the whole world. And I'd like to pray to Srila Gurudev and all of you also to please allow me to come here to this wonderful yatra in the future many times. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Jai Rupa Raghunath Prabhu Ki Jai. For those of you who don't know, Rupa Raghunath Prabhu is the leading book distributor in Australia, and very, very sincere devotee, very humble in his approach. And actually, when he was coming here on his flight from Australia, he met a person on flight and sold her some books. And his wife also is very, very nice that way. Both of them work very nicely. Krishna Rupa Devi also. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Some people are coming and telling me that they'd rather not speak. They'd like to pull out knowing that there's so many people who are going to speak. Please don't do that. You still have an opportunity to speak. You've come from very far. We want to give you an opportunity to speak. You don't have to pull out. But some of you are transferring to the evening, would rather speak in the evening because you're not quite ready to speak. So if Archana Prabhu can come forward. Archana Devi. So this is Adi Guru Prabhu, husband, so he'll speak. And then after that, Radha Krishna Prabhu. And after Radha Krishna Prabhu, we have Jay Baladev Prabhu. You might come over next. And after Jay Baladev Prabhu, we have...
Jai Guru Dev. So unlike Rupa Raghunath, I had no desire to come to Dallas. I'm from England, and America is a big, strange country. But my wife is a very dear disciple of Gurudev. And when he came to England, he immediately moved into this house in Cambridge. And I was immediately engaged in his service, helping him to settle into his house on different driving errands up from London. Cambridge is about 1 hour from London. So, and then very early times when Gurudev was first coming to study at university, I had lots of nice association, and Gurudev was very, very kind to me, and very expert in conversing. I remember after he had his cancer, he came back to England, and whenever he would come to the temple, he would come like once every Sunday down from Cambridge to the temple, Soho Street or the Manor, and he would meet with all of his disciples who were in England. They would gather in a room and he would talk to them individually, each and every one of them. So I'm a disciple of Shiva Ramraj, and Shiva Maharaj is very quiet and very grave and not so sociable as Gurudev. So as Gurudev's coming down the stairs, I said to Gurudev, I said, I said that you're not like my Guru Maharaj, Gurudev. You're very, you have time to speak to everyone of your disciples. And he said, Shiva Maharaj and I, we have the same heart, but we're very, very different. He said, since the cancer, I became changed. The cancer changed me, he said. And over that time, he seemed to really give himself to every single individual that he had any connection with. And it was like Gurudev was really the most personable Swami or Guru in ISKCON for me. And that's the one memory I have of him, that he would talk nicely with me in a very, very personal way. And I'm glad I came. This is a very beautiful temple room, and it's very nice to be here with you. Thank you very much.
Jai Adi Guru Prabhu Ki, Jai Radha Krishna Prabhu.
Hey, I've got a brain freeze. Well, to carry on the theme that Adi Guru and Rupa Raghunath said, I too didn't contemplate coming to America. But anyway, Gurudev brought me here. I was thinking, like Maharaj was speaking this morning about Gurudev's intelligence. He's very sharp. He's able to pick up. Just by meeting anyone for 5 minutes, he'd know exactly their nature and so on. And it's amazing how he does it, but that's how he was. And so one day I was doing some work and he wasn't pleased with me. So then he, as usual, he corrected me in his style, chastised me. So after that, he asked me, like Maharaj was saying, how would you correct it? And so I suggested a few things. Then he said, all right. Then he went back to his office. Then he came back later and then he said, you know, intelligence is not enough, he said, in Krishna consciousness. He said, you can't just depend on your intelligence to solve everything that you come across in whatever you endeavor. You need to change your heart. You have to soften your heart. So over the years, in serving him and even now, with Srila Gurudev in separation, I think about how, you know, when there's problems or when there's things to do, I always think what Srila Gurudev means by intelligence is not enough. You have to be in Krishna consciousness. You need to soften your heart. So I would sometimes try to, in a situation, empathize with the person who I'm dealing with, think about it deeply. And essentially, I came to a conclusion that we need to pray to the spiritual master for the mercy, as well as to all the devotees. And that was the real intelligence, actually. And that was my conclusion. And that's how Srila Gurudev trained each and every one of us to actually think deeply and think about the person you're interacting with and think about how they can be involved with you in presenting Krishna consciousness to everybody. So, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Nice to be here, huh? Usually I just speak without any notes. But I wrote some lore, Hare Krishna. Mr. Tamal Krishnamurti's mother, Hare Krishna. I didn't see you before, I didn't know. I wrote something a few years back, maybe 5, 6, 7 years back, and I was going through it, and I thought I'd like to read it again today. Some of my thoughts on Tamal Krishnamurti. Today we gather to commemorate the appearance of the day of Tamal Krishnamurti's Goswami Gurudev, remembering his life and legacy within our society. While considering what to write, I was thinking what it was about him that attracted me. As I began to contemplate, one main quality kept coming up in my mind: his unwavering loyalty, and his fixed devotion for Srila Prabhupada and for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. As I thought of all the different characteristics I was appreciating in Maharaj, this chastity to Srila Prabhupada held a great importance to me. I saw in him a strong person, not limited by a stagnant understanding of Srila Prabhupada's mission, but a person who could keep the objectives of Srila Prabhupada's purpose intact, while at the same time develop and expand our society beyond its normal limits. He possessed a unique ability to remain chaste to his spiritual master and at the same time take bold steps forward in preaching Krishna consciousness. These steps would undoubtedly challenge the perimeters of the established ways of ISKCON, sometimes at great personal expense and hardship. But he had the ability to expand these boundaries or to retreat when necessary, tolerating the difficulties and always remaining fixed at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. As we honor him here today, we also reflect on how he affected our lives, or my own life. When I look at the influence he had on my personal life, I can only thank him from the core of my heart. His deep understanding of my needs, which were at the same time including his concern for me as a friend and involvement in my life set forth many changes. All this has had a deep effect upon me that will hopefully not be forgotten nor lost in time. I also remember him as someone I could approach for any and everything without any hesitation. We had a relationship which allowed this complete openness without fear of being judged unfairly or exposed to the elements of ISKCON. All this helped to guide and shape me into what I feel is a more qualified servant of Srila Prabhupada. His position as a leader and one who could make things happen can never be underestimated in ISKCON. He was one of the most instrumental followers of Srila Prabhupada, setting the stage for many ISKCON preaching programs. His loyalty and devotion was recognized by Srila Prabhupada, who used him as a sharpened tool to sculpture in the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western world. And I was happy to serve Srila Gurudev in his mission. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Solna Srita Dvaja Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Baladev Prabhu.
As we all know, Gurudev has many great qualities that I was thinking what to speak of because you have so many choices. One thing struck me about Maharaj's lecture this morning when he's talking about how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was called Nrisinga Guru because he was so powerful preaching. It said that he would directly confront the Mayavadi sannyasi, saying, "Why are you cheating?" And sometimes if they saw him on the street, they would cross the other side, try to get away, because sometimes he would challenge them so heavily. And Prabhupada said that some of his godbrothers would criticize it because they call it the chopping technique. And they used to criticize, and Prabhupada said that everyone who criticized Guru Maharaj, they eventually fell down. And I also know how strong Prabhupada himself was in preaching. And Gurudev, following that example, I can remember when, you know, he first went to China. Gopal Prabhu was there, 1980 or 81. But then he used to like wear a suit and go in kind of undercover, kind of sneaking out of the wire and going there and preaching. Initiated, I think, two Chinese disciples. But it wasn't until 1988 he came back. I remember he came back from Mayapur, being inspired by the preaching that was going on in Russia. He said, he said we have to do something more strong, you know. He says, he said I didn't spend 20 years in Krishna consciousness just to teach English. You know, we have to preach directly. So when we started going in dhotis and preaching directly, and even Gurudev himself, I was with him, we were in Shanghai, even Gurudev was kicked out of China for preaching. And somehow I got blamed for that too. He said, you're a jinx. Wherever you go, you attract police. Because before that, I ended up in China because I was kicked out of Korea. And I had the enormous reputation of being the first one kicked out of China. And so he said, you're a jinx. Anyway, that's how actually everything, after we started doing that, the whole thing just blossomed, you know, just like took off like a rocket. And now we have, you know, hundreds of devotees there. And it's all by Gurudev's initiative. Srila Gurudev ki.
Jai Jai Baladev Prabhu ki jai. Shyama Vallabhi doesn't want to speak for some reason. So I'll call upon Kal Prabhu. Kal, you can come.
Hare Krishna. Please allow my family and myself to offer you all our most humble obeisances. When Smal Krishna Maharaj and myself started associating again after about 10 years absence toward the end of the 80s, around in the beginning of the 90s, one of the first things he said to me was, first thing was to engage me in service, that we should engage in service together. He said that the strength and the depth and the longevity of our loving relationship would depend on our service together. And so this year, like every year, has been very difficult and also very wonderful. And I think what has been difficult is feeling the need for his presence and missing him more than ever. What has been most wonderful has been feeling in some ways the closest with him of ever, a real high point of our relationship. And I feel very grateful for that. And I'm sure that it is because he gave me the association of his godbrothers and godsisters and disciples and friends. And we depend upon all of you very much. But in turn, also, you all bring us back to him. And especially this past year, being engaged in service, especially by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and by His Grace Radhacharan Prabhu. And I feel that in that service, I've never been so close with my brother as ever before. And this book is really, this book from Radhacharan is incredible. It's so beautiful. It's really incredible.
Yeah. His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. Welcome, Maharaj. Actually, Kapu hasn't finished. He's just taking a pause so that Maharaj will speak and then he'll continue speaking. And Stella, you'll be speaking now for him.
No. I will
hear. Okay, Maharaj. He wants you to finish, Carl. You finish and then Maharaj will speak. Okay, all right, Maharaj. Come on through, please.
Shri Lokanath Swami Ki
Jai. So, two things before the book. I'm thinking of Radhakrishna said earlier, said it was not enough that Srila Gurudev said to him is that intelligence is not enough. He had to soften his heart. Actually, to me, he said, soft heart is not enough. You have to be intelligent. So I guess... So I guess we have to combine both heart and intelligence together. But one of the wonderful things of working with Radhacharan on this book was also, just as I think many people did, going through memories, going through photographs and letters. And so I came upon this letter that an excerpt of it appears in the book, and I thought I might share just a little bit of it with you today. It's from Dallas, from May 27th, 1989, to my dear brother Carl. And I'll just read a little bit of it. I was extremely pleased, even deeply moved, to read the contents of your letter. This is after many years of not being together, and I guess our history was I would be engaged in association with devotees and in Krishna consciousness, but he didn't know about it. And so finally I was telling him some things that had happened through the years. There is no limit to Krishna's wonder. I had no idea that my actions, words, and writings would so influence your life. I am very indebted to Srila Prabhupada for making me a devotee and therefore allowing me to fulfill the obligation of an older brother. When we were very young, I used to play with you and keep you entertained. There was natural love and affection between us, but now I feel a great hankering to extend that love and affection in the real spiritual sense. In you, I find the family relation with whom I can genuinely share Krishna consciousness. Certainly, I feel thankful to all of them for the kindness they showed me. But as I have deepened my Krishna consciousness, I have come to think of the spiritual relationships as my true family. When I think of a father, I can only think of Srila Prabhupada, because he did for me what a father is truly meant to do. He showed me the way to perfect my life and put an end to the suffering of repeated birth and death. Even more, he has given me the opportunity to taste the greatest happiness of devotional life. In every birth, we get a father and mother, but only as human beings are we offered the opportunity to gain Krishna. Now I can understand that we must have been related from a previous birth, and thus Krishna has placed us in such a close family relationship. Now we must utilize this to advance spiritually. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as well as Srimad Bhagavatam, you will be able to read of many wonderful examples of brothers who engage together in the service of Krishna. The five Pandava brothers immediately come to mind, and of course, the three brothers, Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, and Sri Nanupana, the dearmost disciples of Lord Chaitanya. These are the most exalted of personalities before whom we are nothing but specks of dust. Yet I pray that we may both follow in their footsteps and prove a credit to Srila Prabhupada. I extend to you my heartfelt embrace and prayers for you and your family's good health and spiritual well-being. With affection, your brother, Tamal Krishna Goswami. So I just want to thank you all very, very much for your association and for including us in the Gurudev family. And I'm so grateful that he has allowed me to do some small service and have your association. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
I call Prabhu ki jai. So I'm sorry I'm putting some of you on the spot here, but you know, people would like to hear. Stella, I think you should come and speak. Please come through. And then I'll pass the mic to Gurudev's mother, Mother Lori, so she can say a few words as well, at least. Or say as much as she likes, of course. But I heard that she only wants to say a few words. And then after that, I'll have Marwad speak. Marwad, you'll be... Please.
Please accept my most humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Gurudev and Srila Prabhupada. I came after Carl's letter. I feel even more blessed that somehow Krishna allowed me to be in Carl's family, that that I just got the good fortune to somehow have Krishna arranged for me to meet Carl and to bring three good children into Srila Gurudev's family. So I feel very honored by that. And Srila Gurudev and I had a really loving and wonderful relationship. And it was very special. We didn't even have to speak. He just, of course, everyone knows he can melt you with his loving glance, and I've always felt that Krishna had arranged, just to please him, that we would become Krishna conscious, and that was the only way that we would become so, is purely by the causeless mercy that Krishna knew how much it would please Srila Gurudev that we would become Krishna conscious. And so he somehow surcharged us with that in order to please Srila Gurudev. So I feel forever grateful that we were the object of that mercy. And I miss him so much. Thank you all for listening. Hare Krishna.
Jai Mother Stella Prabhu ki jai. So I... Yes, Mother Lori would like to say thank you very much to everyone of us here for coming to Dallas, for the opportunity to come to Dallas. She very much wanted to come, and she was saying she was very embarrassed that she wants to come to Dallas. And I said, please, we're very embarrassed to hear you saying that to us. We'd love to have you in Dallas. And although it was not so easy for her to make the trip, because we're looking for a companion, and we couldn't find a companion, but she came on her own. And American Airlines helped out with some people at Los Angeles Airport here in Dallas to make sure that the trip was comfortable. Anyway, thank you, Mother Lori, for coming. We're always very happy to have you in Dallas. And whenever you'd like to come, please just give us a holler. We'd be more than happy to have you over with us. Thank you very much. Jai, Mother Lori Prabhu ki jai. Okay, so Maharaj still wants some more people to speak. And I guess when you're ready, Maharaj, you have sweet will. Whenever you're ready, you can speak. I'll call upon Ladini Shakti Prabhu, and then after him, Mother Mohan Mahini. Ladini Shakti Prabhu here? He's not. Okay. They're in the hallway? Okay. Well, while somebody's calling them, I'll ask Sarvabhauma Prabhu to come and speak. And then... Did Chaitanya Prabhu come today? Chaitanya Prabhu, I saw his car there, but I didn't see him. Okay. Sarvabhauma Prabhu. And then after that, we'll have Mother Guru Bhakti. And after Madhuguru Bhakti, I'll ask Draupadi if you can say some words. Your husband isn't here, so he might have to speak on behalf of both of you. Thank you.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Tamal Krishna Goswami Nityamani. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Yavishesh Shunyavani Pashtata Deshtarani. So I didn't know what I would say. When we arrived here in Dallas, this very strong rainstorm was coming. And all the water was coming. It got very heavy right when our car drove up from Houston, and so we waited for the rain to get a little less before we got out of the car. So I was remembering that when, before I was had the honor of having anything to do with the Hare Krishna movement, the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, I met this lady from India who was some kind of a follower of a guru in India, and she gave me some kind of Charanamrita. And when I took the Charanamrita, I just was very eager to get it because I knew how contaminated my heart was. She said, you're very thirsty for something spiritual. So later I met His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Los Angeles. I wasn't able to fully surrendered to Krishna consciousness right away. The next time I saw him was in New Vrindavan. This was when they had the grand opening of the Srila Prabhupada's palace. And there were many devotees. It was one of the biggest events in ISKCON after Srila Prabhupada left, at least in America. And I remember there were many spiritual masters, ISKCON gurus. And I was sort of reluctant to, I was eager to experience more of Krishna consciousness, but I had sort of made some offense to His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So I wasn't so eager to see him, but I heard that he was there. He used to travel in this big motorhome called a Barth for a little while in America. It was all equipped with a kitchen and had, I believe his Radha Damodar deities were there. So he had come there in this big, beautiful motorhome. So I remember seeing the motorhome in the New Vrindavan was parked up on a hill, and feeling that I was very far from Krishna. And I was visiting this beautiful place of Krishna's past, you know, in the West, New Vrindavan, the holy dham in the West, seeing all these beautiful Vaishnavas, and feeling very far from being a Vaishnava. And I remember it was kind of a little bit warm and kind of dry, but then some clouds came. And I had heard about this first verse in the Guru Vastika prayer, Samsara Davana Lalita Loka, you know, that the mercy of the Guru is like a rain cloud. It flows. So I was just there, and just a little sprinkle came from the sky, and I was thinking, about this concept of that, and I felt this little bit of water coming, you know, and I don't always feel so Krishna conscious or as such a good disciple or that I could even call myself that, but just coming here and associating with you all, senior devotees and new devotees alike, To honor a great devotee like Srila Tamal Krishna Maharaj helps encourage me, but just getting here and just being deluged with the rain, it's like the rain of mercy of the spiritual master. So I didn't know what to say, but I felt that Krishna arranged for that to happen. And I thought back in my life when I was little bit of drop came, which encouraged me. And as Adi Guru Prabhu said, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had this, he always had this way of encouraging people in Krishna consciousness. In the end of his life, it was by these very personal exchanges he had with devotees and even non-devotees. He would touch so many people's hearts by his very personal nature. So he was like sprinkling drops of Charanamrita wherever he went. And I guess whether some of you didn't personally associate with him, but I feel that these little drops are being spread by all the devotees who are here. And thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Sarvabhauma Prabhu ki jai, Mother Guru Bhakti. And then Mother Draupadi.
Jai Srila Gurudev. Last week I had to give the Sunday feast lecture, and I spoke about how Srila Gurudev was under the divine energy, Devi Prakriti. But I didn't develop it enough, and I thought I would just say what I left out. In the sense that Srila Gurudev was not an ordinary person. He was very much of the spiritual world. And things in his life were arranged like that too to make it very obvious that he was not ordinary. The thing which came to mind was, and some people spoke about this, and even Giriraj Maharaj, when he spoke, a few other people, that he was a sole-out servant of Srila Prabhupada. Not only that, but he wanted, what he desired very deeply was to be accepted as a son by Srila Prabhupada and be part of his family. And he loved exchanges where he would have to deal with Srila Prabhupada's family. And sometimes, particularly when he was doing his academic work, many times he would lament that, I just want to be, go back with Srila Prabhupada, I want to be with him. And then Krishna made this wonderful arrangement. He had this desire to establish Srila Prabhupada in the academic circle as a theologian, but at the same time, his innermost, his heartfelt desire was personally to be with Srila Prabhupada. And so, when he got admission into Cambridge, he was set on his way to fulfilling that mission for Srila Prabhupada for ISKCON. But he, at the same time, he had this deep desire to be with Srila Prabhupada. And then Krishna made this arrangement where he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And the way, the timing was such that it came, the diagnosis came after he was diagnosed, after he was admitted, so that he continued his studies. Otherwise, if the diagnosis had come earlier, he said he would not have pursued it. So in some ways, it gave him a reason to delve deeply into his personal relationship. And then, of course, later on, he got cured from that, but then his desire to be with Srila Prabhupada persisted, and then Srila Prabhupada took him in a very unprecedented way, very quickly, and leaving us bereft of his association. So not only was he under Srila Prabhupada's divine energy, but he also dragged people like us who were not part of his, not in the divine energy, to be with him. And I feel very fortunate that he continued to drag me. When I started to take up or learn about Krishna consciousness, I learned that the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee is one of the three very powerful ingredients to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. So I always wanted to get the, to touch his feet, but I was very scared. Because first I thought, oh, I am a woman and he's a sannyasi, I can't do that. And then there's this example, he cited this example, that when Srila Prabhupada did the Pandal programs, he would personally prevent people from touching Srila Prabhupada's feet. And I felt, I'm not qualified, so how can I do this? And at the same time, I would really admire my god brothers and god sisters who would just so spontaneously touch his feet. But and I just had this hankering, but I didn't dare do it. I just didn't feel I could do it. But somehow or other, he made these arrangements where he gave me the opportunity to touch his feet. So I felt very fortunate that he kind of allowed me and gave me that opportunity. But sometimes, the first time I remember was here in Dallas, and I was cooking for him and he developed gout in his feet. So he asked me to look at it. And for the first time I touched his feet. And when I did that, I first examined his feet and he joked with me. He said, Guru Bhakti, you're still a doctor. And you're a doctor first. So then I felt that my service to him was to take care of was to serve him first and of myself later. So then afterwards, I would just touch his foot to my head. And then later on, of course, when I was doing residency, he allowed me to touch his feet. And then at certain times when he would visit Houston, he was in the late 80s, he was doing his japa in his own room in an altar by himself. But I would have to go to work early, and I was really lamenting that I couldn't listen to his lectures. So he told me that I could come and see him before I went. And every day when I would go, he would have this very peaceful setting where he was chanting japa very intensely. And he would just extend his feet and allow me to put my head on his feet. So, and then later on, when he had the cancer and we were taking care of him, you know, he would ask me to massage and his feet. And it was satisfying to him. So it was a very nice service that he allowed me, even though I was not qualified. So when I think of him, it's not that I was qualified, but he made us qualified. And I thank you very much for it.
Jai, Nada Guru Bhakti Prabhu Ki Jai. Mr. Draupadi.
Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. For us, especially for our family, especially for myself, Srila Gurudev was extremely kind. My husband saw Srila Gurudev's little bit of heavy side, but I never had a chance to see that part. He was extremely loving, extremely caring. He took care of all our needs, material, spiritual, everything. He would guide us for almost everything materially, everything spiritually. Even he guided my husband, when he should come out of the business, when he should get into business, which kind of business he has to look for, everything materially he took care of us. In our Indian culture, we don't get a direct association of sannyasis. And so usually he would give instructions to my husband and my husband would direct me through the instructions of Srila Gurudev. So most of the time I had a chance to cook for him. So only service I did for Srila Gurudev was cooking for him whenever he came to Houston. Or if I was traveling, if he was there, I would cook for him. And he was extremely fond of Gujarati cooking. One time we cooked Punjabi cooking for him, and he called us in and he said, "You remember your Guru Maharaj is Gujarati." So he said, "Whenever you all cook for me, you make sure you cook Gujarati food for me." And then time to time he would even guide us how we should cook Gujarati prasadam also. And one time we were serving him chapati. If you remember old building in Houston temple where Gurudev had his room, and the kitchen was a little far, so we would make hot chapati and somebody would run in the plate to serve him the chapati, and then as soon as he would put it in the plate, he would take one bite and he said, "This is half second more done on one side." So then we would, you know, rush to make another one to give him the perfect one. So even the prasadam, he wanted everything so nice, and he would guide us in every way how perfect cooking we should do for Krishna. To me, I always miss him so much because I don't get the direct directions from him anymore. But when I, since I'm going down a little bit with my health conditions, I was so surprised that Srila Gurudev, even though he's physically not present, he's making arrangement for me to take care of my material needs, even now. And I'm really thankful to Giriraj Swami Maharaj that when he suggested that I should take some medications from certain doctors where Maharaj is taking treatment from and everything, and I was thinking in my mind, I was like completely breaking down with my health. And Giriraj Maharaj came over to Houston and I started taking some help from some doctor. And I was thinking, Srila Gurudev, even though he's not here physically, he's still making arrangements for me through his god brothers. And they're still taking care of us. Thank you so much, Maharaj. I really miss Srila Gurudev. We loved him so much. We still love him so much. We will love him so much and hope he would keep us many, many lifetimes to come at his lotus feet. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Jai Mata Draupadi Prabhu Ki Jai. So they're here, Rasikendra or Padaduli? Both. Mother Padaduli is here? That's good, very nice. And then after Mother Padaduli speaks, Mahari Prabhu, Mother Yashoda. First Mahari Prabhu and Mother Yashoda.
I met Srila Gurudev when I was 16 in Singapore. And Srila Gurudev, before Srila Gurudev came to Singapore, I heard about him a lot. I used to go to the gift shop in one of the mall where they had a Hare Krishna gift shop, and I used to go and read after my school. Some days I used to skip my classes and go to the bookshop to read books. And when I saw the Vyasa Puja book of Srila Gurudev, I felt that this person is not ordinary. I came from a Hindu background, so I have seen so many gurus, and I never had faith in gurus. And I didn't want to take shelter of any human being. And I always said, God is there, why should I take shelter of someone living like us? But when I saw Gurudev, I realized that he's not an ordinary person. Just his picture alone, his Vyasa Puja book alone, it was so striking. I said, I have to see this person, I have to see. So I went to the program they had in a small apartment. And that night, I have to tell so many lies to my family to go to the program. And when I went, actually I said, I'm going to McDonald's. And I went. And I went to the program and I saw Gurudev was there sitting, and I sneaked behind. When I walked in, actually Gurudev turned and looked at me. I felt like an electric shock like going through my body, and I said, I was shaking literally. I was only 16 years old. Then I just sat there, listened, and I was watching my time every time. I have to go back, I have to go back, it's getting late. And I just, within 1 hour, I walk out. When I was leaving, Gurudev again looked at me and he said, you had prasadam? And I just shook my head, said, wait. And he told someone to pack prasadam, and I took the prasadam and went back. And after a year later, Gurudev came back. And that's the time I personally told him that I want to take him as my guru. Before that, it was Ekadasi. And I asked several questions to Gurudev in front of everyone, like 100 people were there. And he was so heavy. He was just going on and on. I said, is it okay if we don't do Ekadasi? And he said, why not? I said, my family will not allow me. He said, are they forcing grains into your throat? I said, no, they will not allow me to come to the temple. Are they tying you up? I say, no. Then what's the problem with you? And I say, oh, I really find my guru. He's so strict and honest. He never beat around the bush, because I was only, that time I was 17 then, and he didn't even think. He was so heavy and clear. And he told, when I met him personally, he said, How many rounds you are chanting? I said, I'm chanting 16 rounds. Chant for more years and write to me, keep in touch with me. So I was constantly, practically every 2 months, I was writing letter to him. And every letter he have replied, he was so kind, and he guided me in my spiritual life, and even in my material life, he guided me. The father who everyone wants, he's guided my life to the point right now. And he asked me to come to Vrindavan. Then from there, he took me, sent me to Philippines. Then from there to Hong Kong, and he arranged my marriage. And he asked me to go back to Singapore and tell my parents. I left my family for many years, and he told me to go back and tell my parents. And so when I came to Singapore, the day I landed, and I got a call from Giridhari Swami, he said, Gurudev want you to go right now to Dallas. And I said, Maharaj, how can I do that? And so I was prolonging, delaying my trip to Dallas. And I told Maharaj, every time in Philippines, Gurudev always talk how much Maya is in America. Why he want me to go there, you know? And then Maharaj said, if your guru want you to go to hell, don't you think you should go? Then I say, yes, Maharaj. Then I went to immigration, got my visa ticket, and I flew. Within a week, I came to Dallas. When I came here, Gurudev, the only first instruction, he said, this is your home, never leave. And after some time, he made me his cook. And I never know how to make anything. You can ask the devotees, I mess up cooking like nothing. I grew up without a mother, so I didn't learn cooking. I ate takeaway Chinese food. So Gurudev used to tease me, what do you know? You just eat out takeaway Chinese food. What do you know? But he made me his cook, and he taught me. He taught me whatever I know right now is through his mercy. I made this dahi vada for him for lunch, and Radha Krishna Prabhu was cooking. And I just made the dahi vada and I sent it to him for lunch. And then by 4 p.m., Radha Krishna Prabhu was knocking at our door, and he said, Gurudev gave you this. And then I put my hand like that, and he put a little stone, small stone. He said he found it in the dahi vada. And then Gurudev said, you're trying to kill him. You know? And I said, oh my God. And the next day, I cook every day breakfast for Srila Gurudev. So the next day when I cook, Gurudev wanted upma with green dhania chutney. So everyone knows who serve Gurudev. When Gurudev ring that bell, you know how you feel the heart starts pounding. And different tone of the bell, you know what Gurudev mood is. You know? So when Gurudev rang the bell, you heard, I was panicking, and Gurudev called me in. Then I went. He said, show me your hand. And then I showed. He took a rubber band from the dhania chutney and put it. And then he shook his head like that. He said, I told them you're trying to kill me. And then the third day, this happened 3 days in a row. The third day, he wanted idlis with coconut chutney. And Deva Prastha Prabhu was the servant, and I was the cook. And then Gurudev told Deva Prastha Prabhu to ask me to come in. Then when I came, Gurudev said, show me your hand. And then I showed, and Gurudev spit on my hand, said, there's a coconut shell left over. And he said, I told them, you're trying to kill me. 3 days in a row, you know, I don't know if Krishna was teaching me something here. And I felt so bad, and I said, Gurudev, why, Gurudev? I told Gurudev, I'm sorry. And after a few days later, he asked me upma. And I don't like upma personally, so I never cooked that. So for Gurudev, cooking upma was such a difficult for me, and particularly he wants certain ways. And so whenever I made upma, it was a blunder because he wanted with tomato sauce in it and everything. And I made such a horrible blunder. And one time I took the plate and offered Gurudev, and Gurudev just looked at it and walked away. He didn't take breakfast. And I felt so bad, and I started crying, and I told, and then Gurudev came back to the kitchen, and then he said, "You go and call the Houston devotees and find out how to make upma. If you have to stand here in the kitchen the whole day, you make the upma right and give it to me." So I was making four times. That I started the first time, the second time, every time I made it became worse and worse and worse. Then finally Gurudev came inside the kitchen. He was so angry. And then I pay my obeisance and I say, "Gurudev, why you have to put up with me? You have so many wonderful cooks who like to cook for you. Why you have to put up with me?" And he said, "I never give up on anyone." And he said, "I never give up on anyone, and I will never give up on you. I'll make sure I will make you an excellent cook." And I practiced so much while he went to Cambridge. I practiced so much to cook for him. And I'm still trying. And trying my best to serve Srila Gurudev. And one more thing about Srila Gurudev, he never gave up, is that every morning I get to see him. That was a blessing. Even though I was messing up his breakfast, but I saw that his mercy to me. And one time, there were so many cases. There was one incident where devotees, disciples of Gurudev in Philippines and China and in Asia, they were leaving him for some other group. And when I brought the prasadam, he told me that morning he was very quiet and sober. And he opened the kitchen door and said, "I want you to bring the plate." So when I brought the plate, I put, and then I about to leave. And then he called in a very, very soft, gentle and quiet way, "Pada Duli." And then I turned and he said, "What did I did wrong? Where did I went wrong? Why my children are leaving me?" And little tears came down from his eyes. And it was amazing to see how much love Gurudev had for all of us. And I told Gurudev, "There's nothing wrong. You didn't do anything wrong, Gurudev. It's so unfortunate of those who leave you." And I take this opportunity, if we see any of our devotees, not only just our God brothers or God sisters who are not here, we will go out of our way to help them to come back to Prabhupada movement, come back to our spiritual masters. There's nothing in this world is greater than being in ISKCON. So we will take this opportunity and help every devotees who are not able to come to the temple, who are not able to be and serve the spiritual masters. And I also take this opportunity to thank Mother Laurie for giving us her son. Because of her mercy, we also get Srila Gurudev. Without Srila Gurudev, all of us are lost. So we also thank her for this kindness of hers. And to lighten up the mood, there's one wonderful pastime Gurudev had with experience with Gurudev. It was Gurudev's 25th sannyas anniversary. And I was cooking breakfast. Usually by 4 o'clock, 4:30, I go after Mangalarti. I go to Gurudev kitchen. So when I was there, Gurudev just opened the door. When he's happy, he's bouncy. Gurudev, you can see Gurudev is so bouncy. So he opened the door and he said, "Hey fool, what's my breakfast today?" And I said, "Gurudev, it's poha today." all right, fool, you know how to cook that, fool? I say, yes, Gurudev. And then he closed the door, and then he again opened. What time is my breakfast, fool? And I said, it's 7:15, Gurudev. Okay. And then he closed the door, and he came down for greeting. Then he came up. Is my breakfast ready, fool? By the time, breakfast time, he at least must have called me like 30, 50 times, fool, fool, fool. And then one devotee from Dayal Nithai Prabhu, he came with a box of gift and asked me to give it to Gurudev. And I told Gurudev, Gurudev, you have a gift from Dayal Nithai Prabhu. And when I gave Gurudev, Gurudev said, give this gift after my breakfast. So after his breakfast, during the whole time when I was serving, he was addressing me, fool, fool, fool. And he was taking with Dhananjaya Prabhu, prasadam. And Gurudev was, after the breakfast, he came to wash his hand and he called me, hey fool, bring my gift. So when I gave him the gift, he was sitting on his the couch, and then he opened the gift and he wrote that card. He said, oh, hey fool, this is not from my Dayal Nithai, it's from devotees from Sacred Thread. Then and then he said, these are beautiful flowers. Can you offer this to Srila Prabhupada and then bring it to me? First, you put in a nice vase and offer it to Prabhupada. So when I was about to leave, he said, hey fool, come here. Do you know what is a vase? I said, yes, Gurudev. Put, and then he said, my disciple, lady disciples are fortunate. I'm calling them so many times fools. They just take that and smile. And then he looked at Dhananjaya Prabhu straight at his face and he said, but my male disciples think they are the Ishwaras, the supreme controllers. So Gurudev was teaching me as well as everyone how to be humble, and it was always very wonderful to see Gurudev in a happy mood. So we pray and that we always serve you to please you and make you happy always, Srila Gurudev. Hare Krishna.
Coincidentally, at that time, there was a disciple in Fiji, a very important disciple of Gurudev in Fiji, who was saying that he was going to leave Gurudev because he was called a fool. So actually, I can see why Gurudev was trying to test some of his other disciples. Okay, Mahari Prabhu, Mother Yashoda, Mahari Prabhu, first of all. I see him around. Oh, you're here. Thank you. Getting old now. And after Mother Yashoda, Arjun Krishna Prabhu.
Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thinking about cooking, it's amazing how every so many disciples talk about cooking so much. I've had the opportunity to cook for Srila Gurudev quite a bit. And well, I've cooked for, you know, many other sannyasis, many other devotees also. And you will never find anyone, I don't think, that will reciprocate, get the level of reciprocation that you would get from Srila Gurudev when you would cook for him. It's just amazing. I mean, you could just cook and just get incredible mercy just for that activity. If you prepared something nicely, sometimes I can even remember seeing him like get overwhelmed if something was really prepared nicely. I mean, he would just, you know, almost get like stunned and say, this is so nice, so nice. But I don't think that you would ever find anyone that you would get that level of reciprocation that you would cook for. I was thinking how in ISKCON we get direction. We get so much direction from the senior devotees. And especially, I think maybe you get that when you're in India, because Vrindavan, in that sense, Vrindavan can be like the center, that these devotees come and you get a chance to hear from them, and you find out what they're thinking and what their emphasis is and what their you know what they really want to get across to the other devotees. And now it's clear. Or at least, you know, I just recently spent some time in India. And the emphasis so much, of course, on chanting, but not just chanting, but absorbing your mind when you chant. And actually, you know, in all our devotional activities, it's body, you know, words and mind. When you absorb the mind, that's what makes it, you know, in a devotional, favorable way, you absorb the mind. That's what makes it devotional service. Without that, well, it's maybe still good, but it's just work. When you absorb the mind, then it becomes devotional. And so hearing this, you know, I've been making, you know, an attempt to try and do that. And I was listening to one lecture recently, one of Giriraj Maharaj's lectures from one of the Japa retreats. And I remember hearing him say how one time a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada about chanting, the meaning of chanting, and Prabhupada said it's like saying, "My dear friend, my dear friend, my dear friend." And I had this little realization just how personal Krishna is. You know, how everything is so personal in our movement. I mean, Krishna is within everyone's heart. He stays with the living entity through every birth that he takes in this material world. Why is that? I mean, I guess you could say that, well, he fulfills the living entity's desires. He directs them at every step. But he doesn't need to be in their heart, I don't think, to do that. You know, it's so personal. And this is what I was thinking about Srila Gurudev, was that he was so intensely personal. Especially in the way that he forced you to feel things. You know, it wasn't always loving admiration that you felt, but I mean, whatever it was that you felt it intensely. And that's what he caused you to do. We were in Mayapur for Srila Gurudev's disappearance day, and many of the you know, senior devotees were speaking. And, you know, they would speak about, like, how heavy he was. Many different experiences, you know, just how they'd maybe just be sitting in a temple room and all of a sudden they'd hear this booming voice, "Prabhupada said this," you know. It was always a story, something like that. And actually then Radhanath Maharaj spoke, and he actually brought it to a whole different level, speaking about the significance, the importance, how Srila Gurudev was so trusted by Srila Prabhupada. And so, I mean, of course, as a disciple, we don't necessarily, you know, have the same emotions, the same thoughts that maybe a godbrother would. But when I hear devotees speak about Srila Gurudev in that way, how he was so intense, how he was so heavy, you don't necessarily see it that way. I think the way that we see it is that, well, he was trained so much by Srila Prabhupada, and he never wanted to compromise in any way at all that training that he received from Srila Prabhupada. And so, you know, he never just backed down because he felt that he was trained by Srila Prabhupada. He had the intelligence, and he had, you know, Prabhupada invested so much in him that he would just never back down, because that's what he saw, that he was in everything that he did, he was investing that association he got from Srila Prabhupada. So, and you know, this is what I was thinking, was just that how personal he was. And of course, you know, speaking of how he forced us to feel things, you know, the obvious thing now is separation. And it's such an amazing thing that, you know, all the great acharyas in Gaudiya Vaishnavism stressed the need to feel separation. And, you know, it's such an important thing for us, but someone like me, how would I ever feel separation? How would I ever even get, you know, the slightest whiff of what it means to feel separation? But just by his disappearance, we actually have a way into that, a way to begin feeling that. And that's such an you know, incredible gift. And I guess maybe there are also many more things coming sometime in the future, things to feel as we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. And I'm very much looking forward to feeling all those things. Hare Krishna.
Jai. Mahari Prabhu ki jai. So before I call upon Mother Yashoda, okay, Mother Yashoda, come right through. Come right through. And after Mother Yashoda speaks, Maharaj will speak, and then Arjun, you can speak after Arjun Krishna Prabhu. You can speak after Maharaj speaks.
I was looking at the nice display that the devotees put up for Gurudev's Vyasa Puja this year, and I was reminded of his smile. You know how that smile could just melt your heart. And if you'd done something for him and you were really looking for that smile and you didn't get it, how that would make you feel as well. Well, there was, I was thinking particularly of, and some of you heard this story, but I was thinking particularly of how after Gurudev was ill, he came to Florida to recuperate with Keshava Bharti Maharaj, came to assist him. And he was, my husband and I were helping to take care of him. We were cooking for him every day, and it turned out to be about a 17-day stint. And it was a real intense time for us. He lived some distance from town. We had to cook for him in one location and bring all the prasadam, serve everything, clean up the mess, take it back to the other place, go into town, buy boga, take care of all the, you know, cleaning his place too. And it was a really intense situation. But when we went to, before that, when we went to pick him up at the airport, and I saw him come off the plane, I felt like he was a general coming back from battle, you know, and he was just, he really needed some R&R. So we were trying our best to give him a little respite from what he'd just been through. And he had a nice little situation there. It was a nice house on the water. He could go down to the, he had his own little private beach, and he could go down and take off in the kayak if he wanted to, or that he and Keshava Bharti Maharaj could go swimming during the day. And along with everything else that we had to do to get done, he wanted my husband to come back in the afternoon and go swimming with him. So it got to be pretty tough towards the end, and he was having some company. Someone was coming from abroad, and he had him come. And that morning, I decided to make drop biscuits, another cooking story. And I had made regular biscuits previously, but I thought, well, you know, if I make drop biscuits, they'll look a little different. But, of course, they were going to taste the same. So he had company though that day, and I decided to make drop biscuits, and you know, they don't look that great. So anyway, I made the drop biscuits, and he called me into his room, and he called me aside afterwards, and he asked me, you know, why I had done it, you know, what was my intention, you know, was I really trying to embarrass him, you know, on and on and on. And all I could think of, you know, it was all I could do to keep from smiling, because I was thinking, yes, he's back, you know, because he had just gone through his whole recuperation and everything, and that was really the first time that he'd really given me the sauce the whole time that he'd been there, and it was like I just couldn't wait to get it again, you know. So it was really nice being there with him, and I know how a lot of you have gone through similar situations with him, and we just try to keep those experiences in the core of our heart, and then when we're all alone, we can just, you know, open up the little box and take them out and examine them again, and just be in his remembrance. And I'm really reminded of him when I see all of you, because everybody, he's invested so much in all of us that there's just a little of him in everybody. And so it's really nice when we all get together, because we have a more clear picture of him and his influence in our lives. Thank you very much.
Jai Mother Yashoda Prabhu Ki Jai. I'll ask Maharaj to come and speak now. Maharaj will also be here in the evening, by the way, for the kirtan. We were hoping to do a big kirtan today as well, but that'll be in the evening part. So today, right now, he'll just speak for a while. And don't miss his class tomorrow either, please, the morning class tomorrow. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Om Agyanati Virandhasya Gyananjana Shalapaya Chakshurun Militam Inatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Parshatya Deshitharine Vanja-kalpataru-vishtripa-sindhubhye-vacha Padita-nam pavanibhyo-vaishnavibhyo-namo-nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu-nityananda Sri Advaita-gadadhar Sri Vasudeva-vurhapta-vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When we scheduled my visit of Dallas on this day, I did not know this was also going to be Vyas Puja ceremony of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Ki. So I'm very happy. Because it's a happy day. Happy birthday to you. I was happy to see Mother Lori. On the way to here, I was inquiring where was Maharaj born and this and that. We were talking. Then we see the origin of Tamal Krishna Gosai Maharaj here. Started with her. Thank you for giving us a gift. This goes, does this, something happens to this. different relationships is Tamal Krishna Gosai Maharaj, son of Srila Prabhupada, also son of Mother Lori, brother of Karl, godbrother of ours, spiritual father of yours. So quite a multi and he maintained all those relations in a healthy state. As we see here, mother and brother and god brothers and disciples assembled here. I think Carl had proposed discipleship. Please accept me, your disciple. I was just reading. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj refused. He said, I already have over 1,000 disciples, but I have only one brother, so you stay my brother. Seeing Giriraj Maharaj here, we were together in Mumbai. Tamal Krishna Maharaj as my GBC and Giriraj Maharaj as my temple president. Way back in 72, 73. So we had lots of association and interactions. I learned a lot from Maharaj. One of my earliest memories is Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I think he had taken sannyas in Jaipur and returned to Mumbai. I remember him holding dand and sitting in the shack in the back. And now we have heaven on earth in Mumbai. But those days things were different. I remember him, that brilliant personality. Almost like a demigod. Yes, he was very strict. Not only with you disciples, but us, his god brothers. Give me another water. My water. This is... One time I think I was going to get late for Mangalarti. I quickly took shower and instead of putting my brahmachari dhoti like brahmacharis do, I just put that as a lungi and I rushed to temple. This is Radharas Vihari temple. And he noticed I wasn't lungi. I was paying my obeisances. He had already stood next to me. As I got up, he said, "Go back. No lungi." And he stood there until I paid obeisances and went back and came back with brahmachari dhoti. Not compromising. He had taken sannyas and around that time my marriage proposal came up. And it was a Gujarati girl again. She was a Prabhupada disciple. So Giriraj Maharaj had approved the marriage. But then the Gujarati girl's parents came. You want to come? No? I don't remember that. You're holding this bag all this time. Anyway, that's not the point. That the girl's parents came, they kidnapped her. And I was a bit down. That's true. And I was thinking why bad things happen for good people like me. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj had taken note of what I was going through. And those days we were staying in a, not on Hare Krishna, Tamalakrishna Maharaj had an apartment in Chand Society, just one block away from the temple. So I had gone to see him to take his advice. And so he, anyway, to, his conclusion was, you marry Krishna. And I think that is when I, that girl got out of my head and everything. So I'm very much indebted to Tamalakrishna Maharaj for that emphatic instruction or advice. That's how I stayed out of it to this day. So I always make connection of my sannyas. Many things. Yeah. Again today I was thinking on the way, did he, which cooking he liked. I was also thinking he liked Gujarati cooking. But then today it was confirmed by Draupadi or somebody was confirmed. Yeah. One time we stayed downtown Bombay for Sikha preaching, Nepenthe Road. And several of us, you were with us or you were at Hare Krishna land? Okay, so we're a team. And every day, in the middle of the day, we would go to one Gujarati Khanawa, Gujarati, well, place where they cook a homemade Gujarati food, curry and dokla and this and that. I remember eating with the Tamalakrishna Maharaj and Giriraj Prabhu those days and others. But not only he was it had to be a really act together. When I was a temple president in Delhi and Tamal Krishna Maharaj coming. His first thing is cooking, getting the cooking act together. But during Kartik festival, I think he would spend Kartik in, this is 10, 15 years ago, we're talking, and year after year, he had a house not far from Krishna Balaram temple. Before he got that Govardhan palace, he had a place near Krishna Balaram temple. And every day, he would invite us. He would, and he had a whole list. He would take note of all those who are present, all his god brothers attending Kartik festival. And every day he would have 5-10 of us. The next day he had a whole list, and another day, and another day, and another day. And he would very kindly put me also on that list. And several times I would have opportunity to honor Prasad, Gujarati Prasad, with Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And then if we had to talk to him, something, some discussion, some issue or whatever, then after meals he would take a nap. And I would ask him, how long would you? He said, 12 minutes. And I would chant a round or two, waiting for him to take his nap. And he would be up in 11, 12 minutes and ready to talk. I haven't perfected that art of... He would take a nap, go deep, out again. Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Thapidani Nabhutale Soyam Rupa Kada Mayam Dadati Sopadantikam. As Rupa Goswami had access to the thoughts on the minds of, on the mind of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I sometimes think that way, that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had, he would also, he had access to Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's thoughts and vision and the mind and that way he was very, very confidential. We could be around or we could be assisting after we are told do this or do that. But him, I think he was in there, in Prabhupada. He was very closely with Prabhupada, knowing Prabhupada. Knowing heart or thoughts of Prabhupada. They got along pretty well. And I think no one else enjoyed that position as much as, relatively more than others, I think. The position that Tamal Krishna Maharaj had with Srila Prabhupada. And as Ramanand Rai and Swarup Damodar were close associates of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during Mahaprabhu's last days. So like that, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had that kind of intimate association, and Srila Prabhupada, he was servant of the servant, talking servant of the servant. He was a very special servant, very special assistant, I would say, of Srila Prabhupada in Srila Prabhupada's mission. Well, talking of that, I personally felt when Srila Prabhupada left the planet, certainly we felt, I felt a big loss. And then again, when Tamal Krishna Gosai Maharaj departed, I felt this was another, yet another major loss, creating big vacancy in this con world. When my parents departed, I did cry a little bit. But when Tamal Krishna Maharaj departed, I it was too much for me to handle that situation. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada did, he was our father, and we were his children. In a way, I see the mission successful, Prabhupada's mission and the family, because there was a bond, I felt a bond. I lost my brother. Well, I lost my father, I lost my mother, that's, well, sure. I lost others from my previous ashram. But when I lost my other spiritual brothers, I did feel loss. As Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I felt deep within, there was a breaking a bond or losing him. But then in a way it's a success, because it's a, having affection and love for someone from a distant country that you knew nothing about him before, and then he become part of this new spiritual family, and develop genuine feeling or affection, and so this is not a mundane thing. I think this is the spiritual. And this is, so Srila Prabhupada gave us that Krishna consciousness and Krishna conscious family and his Krishna conscious children, and we his, well, then brothers and sisters, and then there's more of you, more relations. So different bodies from someone from Singapore also. It's amazing to hear. From Philippines, from here, from Australia, from wherever, and then you feel close. You feel, this is my person, my whatever, father, brother. This is beyond the matter. So we were together for 72 and then 30 years almost. For 30 years of the brotherhood and our colleagues or our family. So you could talk volumes, you could write books. When Srila, when Srila Prabhupada departed, Ramakrishna Maharaj was kind of sharing or distributing Prabhupada's personal items. And he was kind to give me Srila Prabhupada's kurta, Srila Prabhupada's kurta. Maharaj, this is for you. And I was touched that he handed Srila Prabhupada's kurta to me, which is fine. This is one of my treasury. I have no bank balance and no bank account, but I think this is something he deposited in my account. Srila Prabhupada's kurta he gave me. During last days of Srila Prabhupada on the planet, we were together, Ramakrishna Maharaj, and myself, and so many others. Many of us were there. Srila Prabhupada wanted me to go get his friend, Dr. Singhosh from Prayag. So Srila Prabhupada asked Ramakrishna Maharaj, give him money so that I could fly. There's no time to lose, so I had to go fast. So I gave him money. So Ramakrishna Maharaj gave me funds so that I could fly to Prayag. And so I managed to bring Dr. Ghosh back. Then there's a whole Srila Prabhupada wanted to go on a bullock cart to Govardhan, and we had arranged the bullock cart. Two bullock carts had come and parked in front of Krishna Balaram temple. So in the beginning, everyone kind of went along, including Tamal Krishna Maharaj, with this desire of Srila Prabhupada to go on a bullock cart. As an experiment, he was talking about going all over, but we would do experiment in Vrindavan. First we would go in Vrindavan, it works out well, then beyond boundaries of Vrindavan, we would go on a bullock cart travel. So this was pretty inconceivable for many of us. especially his personal assistants and servants and secretaries, and especially the Mahakrishna Maharaj.
So that night, anyway, though, kind of all those who were present, house was kind of divided. Some in favor of letting Prabhupada go. He wants to go. That was one thing. He wants to go, so let's make arrangements for him to go. And then, during the night, Mahakrishna Maharaj and Bhavanand Prabhu also, and maybe Krishna Das Babaji from Gaudiya, he had come, and it was difficult to convince Srila Prabhupada directly, so they convinced Krishna Das Babaji, and then they together spoke with Srila Prabhupada, and so there was a lots of dialogue back and forth. This is a final pastimes. Tamakrishna Gosai Maharaj wrote a whole book about the final pastimes, Srila Prabhupada's last days in Vrindavan, and he has included this, including he has shown me with the cart. I think there's an illustration there. I'm ready with a beloved card, and naive as I was considered. Well, so finally, there are some emotional details that we were all going through, and finally Prabhupada decided not to travel on the ox cart. Then maybe the day after, we were all in Prabhupada's quarters, and again the idea of traveling came up. But this time with the buses, he wanted to travel with the buses all over India. Then we were all taking turn whether we could join you, Srila Prabhupada. I remember Giriraj Maharaj saying, wherever we go, to the big towns, the rich people, I could make life members. Could I come, Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada said, meaning yes. And then Pratama Krishna Maharaj's seat was already booked on that tour. He, for sure, he was going to be there. And Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Maharaj, oh, wherever we go, there are scientific communities, there are scientists there. I could organize a BI conference, could I go, Prabhupada? So everyone was wanting to go with Srila Prabhupada.
And Bhakti Chaitanya from Chandigarh, he said, I'm a good driver, Srila Prabhupada. Then I also asked whether I could go. Then he said, you would be our leader. Yeah, I had some experience of traveling, preaching. So once that program was settled, then a few of us, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, myself, and Bhavanand Maharaj, and a few others, we were preparing for Prabhupada's travels all over India. We bought big map of India and where to get buses and who would be the drivers and all the logistics. We were working on. So our team members of Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Maharaj was at Cambridge studying, and we had missed him. He was near leave of absence and not attending GBC meetings, and then he came that year. And he was doing kirtans, famous kirtans. Every night, all the kirtaniyas, all the ISKCON leaders, and packed into his room. He took great pleasure doing that, those kirtans. He aroused interest of, we had some interest, he aroused further interest of us in kirtans and attachment to the kirtans and the love for chanting and dancing. And so you would attend all the meetings all day. And then there were evening famous kirtans in Tamal Krishna Maharaj's quarters. I was seeing him also during the day. He would also go, I think during lunch break, going to Ganga. I was staying in a conch building from the back ground floor. I used to see him wearing a hat and from his Navadip Mandal Parikrama, I think Chinese hat or something. No, the round hat. I think he had, one year he came with some 1,000 hats from Hong Kong, and that year he was personally going on Navadip Mandal Parikrama. And in the morning after Mangalarti, he asked all the devotees to pray for China mission. And as devotees prayed, then he gave them a gift from China. Everyone had a hat, and all those 1,000 devotees on Parikrama had a hat on their heads from China, a gift from China. And he was also wearing one. I thought this hat that he was wearing during his last Mayapur visit was a similar kind of hat. So he was bathing in Ganga, and lots of association. If he had offended, thinking that he had offended someone, he was going out of his way to approach them and begging for forgiveness, or I did not mean this and I didn't mean that. And he was, we took note of this afterwards, after Matthew was doing these things. This appearance day, we get kind of mixed up. Then he had, I think he had to leave early morning. Before he left, I also heard from Bharati, Kesha Bharati or someone, he was saying, oh, tomorrow I'm going back home. And it was sounding that he was saying something else. It wasn't sounding that he was going to Cambridge. He was, although that's what he was saying, but it was, those who heard him say that, they derived another meaning, or they understood that he was giving some other hint. I'm going back to home. I'm going home. Going back home. He was returning to So he had to leave before Mangalarti temple was closed. So he offered his obeisances to Garuda. I thought that was significant, offering obeisances to Garuda. And he had left instructions then with some of his followers, some of his devotees, that I will not be able to continue taking bath in Ganga, so you go on my behalf and you take, continue bathing in Ganga on my behalf. And where this, whatever, the unfortunate accident took place. My calculation is he was still in Gaurmandal Bhumi and he was kind of about to cross. He was still on the side of Navadvip, Mayapur. So he was not let go outside, he was still on Gauranga's side, and then I was just reading again his, when Mahavishnu Maharaj, elderly Gujarati, when he was ill, this has been printed in the back of that TKG, Memories of the Back. Maharaj, you are not going. He was Tamakrishna Maharaj. No, you are not going. You are not going. Because the Maharaj was not sure whether he would survive. And no, we want you. We want you. You are not leaving. We want you. And then the statement I read that said, oh, I want to be the first one. I want to go before others so that I could greet my brothers up there in Lord's abode. That was his statement then. So he is conspicuous, huh? Is it? By his absence, his presence is felt, he is here. This is appearance day, so he's appearing. As we remember him, all those dealings, his dealings with us are like eternal dealings, not necessarily things of the past. And that distance, 10 years in the past, 20, 30 years, that is dissolved as we remember him within our hearts and we get closer to him or feel being with him. So may Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj appear to us through his memories or memorable association that he gave us. And deep impression that he has left behind on our lives and the lives of hundreds and thousands of devotees, followers of Hare Krishna moment. Well, he continues to be with us through his instructions, through whatever association that he had given to us. That's with us. His instructions are with us. His books are with us. He has given you personally, he has given general instructions to you, his disciples, and he has given some personal instructions also to you. So, occasion like this is an opportunity to revive our sankalpas, our vows to follow those instructions and continue to get his association. So many things. Did he not design this? Probably he has certainly a big role to play in designing this. So there are so many things to remind us of him. His God brother should be also reminding you of him. Srila Prabhupada, I don't know when that photograph was. When Prabhupada departed, I remember in Back to Godhead, towards the end of the pages, end of the magazine, there was a photograph of Srila Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, two together, with that spot. Maharaj has a spot on his eye. It's kind of one of the striking photos. Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, they're together. So Srila Prabhupada also should be reminding you of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and vice versa, like that. They are very close. So I'm happy that on this occasion of a happy birthday that he, which how many years ago are we talking about? Maybe Lori Mataji could, maybe. How many years? This number, what? Which is this? 63. So 63 years ago. Do you all know where he was, where he appeared? Well, I don't know. New York? One who was, he wasn't sure, he was saying. Huh? You mentioned New York, but you said somewhere. So this day is auspicious day. Rupa and Sanatan and so many associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they appeared, elsewhere. They were ministers, they were this, they were that, and then they all joined Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. Likewise, all these Prabhupada followers, Sri Prabhupada did say, Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati Thakur has sent you to me. He has sent them to the world. So wherever they were born, they met Srila Prabhupada. And so we had very special associate of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, associate, intimate disciple and son, and our God brother, your spiritual father, appeared on this day. We are happy, we welcome his appearance. And all glories to the Mahal Krishna Gosai Maharaj Ki.
We had all we want. You can't give a go. Get to stay here.
Jai Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj Ki Jai. So we had promised everybody that we'll serve the prasadam out latest at 3. As always, we run late somehow. It's 2:15 now. I'm thinking that we'll just we have to have the Pushpanjali, and then after the Pushpanjali, Srila Gurudev's Guru Puja. And you know, with such great kirtan is here, we're all looking forward to having a great kirtan also, and then serving out the feast. So there were some other devotees we wanted to call upon amongst the guests who have come. I know that you're staying for the evening program as well. We will continue, and like I said to the Dallas devotees, if you don't get to speak here, speak today, hopefully tomorrow, and if not tomorrow, next year. Sorry about that, but you know, we're just running out of time. What else to do? The people are really hungry, I can tell. Prasadam is, everybody's looking forward to the great Chinese feast that has been cooked. And some of us are ready to critique it also, because there was quite a good discussion we had when we decided to go Chinese this time. So, if it's okay with all of you, we'll have Pushpanjali now. That okay? We'd like to hear some more. What's the general consensus? Pushpanjali? Okay, all right. So we'll have Pushpanjali now, and then after Pushpanjali, the Guru Puja. Jai. Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.